Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here with us tonight to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you with us tonight. We're going to get into a very interesting discussion tonight in biblical aspects. We're going to look at the pleasures of heaven. You know, there has to be a reward at the end of this rainbow after this experience in life. If we don't get any reward in heaven, we're going to have to question if it was worth it. But does the Bible tell us about what's going to happen in heaven? We think so. With all of the negative things that's going on here today or in our age, the Bible says that the end times will wax worse and worse, and men will run to and fro seeking rest and finding none. Their hearts swelling for fear, looking at those things that are coming, wars and rumors of war, signs in the heavens, the stars falling. We covered that. In the last 2 or 3 weeks, we have looked at the negative aspects of what we've got to look forward to as long as we're in a flesh body. So we're going to transition tonight and move it upstairs, so to speak, and look into what the Father has prepared for us from the foundation of the world. We're going to begin in Revelation 21, verses 5 through 7. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Make all things new. Isn't that wonderful? One of the most compelling, inviting, comforting scriptures that I've ever read in the Bible was John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, let's take a look at I am. Let's take a look at his life, what it exemplified, what he'd done before his resurrection, what he did after the resurrection, and the promises he made to us would be as equal, refreshing, as he talked about the things that were waiting for him. I mean, he went to his reward. He said, I've overcome. And so, by meaning that he is now, as the Bible said, sat down with the Father on the right hand. Now, the Father represents the Spirit, the right hand represents power, and the central figure of the Godhead, the flesh body, became its eternal resting place. The Spirit attached itself to a body. This body took upon itself the likeness of human flesh, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he said, I make all things new. Wonderful. In the wonderful heavenly city, and we're going to be city dwellers. Isn't that nice that we're going to have streets of gold? So transparent, we could see forever through the pure gold. This is how pure this gold is. It don't have a murky, milky, yellowish tint to it that our gold does, it's not pure. This gold is transparent, like liquid crystal glass, but it's gold, pure gold. And the Bible says, he that overcomes shall inherit all things. And who is it that overcomes the world? The quitters, the give-uppers, the never-starters, the naysayers? No. It is the positive of the Father's sheep, the creation, grown now to be clothed with the glory that he had and the glory that we had before the world was. That's a central theme of our thinking. When we think about, behold, I make all things new. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Yahweh, Yeshua, is the Son of God or the Son of El. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John 5, verses 5. The Messiah loved us in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we've got faith that there's things laid up for us, as he promised, and that he's going to give us the fountain of the water of life freely. For he that overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. It's amazing what kind of promises we got about heaven. Is it worth suffering for? Is it worth fighting for? Is it worth saving for? Is it worth reaching beyond the carnal realm to the spiritual dimension, to a dimension of pure spirit plane where we can see these things by faith, not by sight? The Bible says if the eye could see, and of course it hadn't seen, but if it could, and the ear could hear what Yahweh's laid up for them at love and service. Oh, man, people work, like I said last night, for these retirement 401k, and then they get built out of them with these slick willies that they actually rob the poor out of their savings. You invest in the stock market or in the stocks and bonds of the company or the 401k, which is in the power and discretion of the company officials, the corporate raiders, as we've called them, the thieves, the white-collared thieves that get away with most of this. You know, figuratively, they pick out one or two here and there to throw them in prison. But all these bigwigs, all these powerful elites, all these Illuminati, they're all in the same bed together. You know, like I said, with Bush and Curry. What choice did we have? I mean, Bush, and I predicted that Bush would go back in, because I'm telling you, folks, I have never seen a president that has done for the New World Order and for the New World Order cause. I've never seen a president perform in the ways that Bush has performed and actually sold the public, as he stripped them and taken their rights and pulled off some of these feats that he's pulled off through the agencies that are working for him, and him being such a positive figurehead for them. I mean, if you notice Bush, I mean, it's gung-ho. Curry would bring up the economy, and he said, it's not too bad, it's getting better, and brush it off and go to the next question. I mean, Curry couldn't get a handle on how to attack the positive message that Bush had in a negative four-year experience. I mean, this guy's amazing. He believes what he says. His wish and desire, if he could be reincarnated, would be a dictator. Well, darn, he's done a good job without being incarnated. There's no use of being incarnated. Now, if he loves his children and is going to reward them, and you're going to inherit all things, and anything that you won't ever have desired, for it is God's delight to give us the desires of our own hearts if we love him and delight ourselves in him, as he says in Psalms chapter 37. One of my favorite chapters, by the way. Hope it is yours. Delight yourself in Yahweh, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Psalms 37:4. Now let me repeat that. What is laid up for them is basically your desires will create the heaven that you can to think about. Whatever you imagine heaven to be is going to be your heaven. That's going to be your own, your little 40 acres where you can turn your rig around. So the Bible said, delight yourself and he will give you the desires of your heart. That means you're in charge of what heaven's going to be like, whatever you can conceive it to be. Do not think small. Think big. Think joyful. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And he will give you the desires of that heart, which he said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's what he was talking about. He said, well, I thought it was already prepared. Your mind, your spiritual mind, your conceptions of what heaven is and your ideal about it is forming it through him. He is the divine creator, but your co-creator through your thought process through him. And that's how that you manage and how that you get the delights of your heart is because you have the will to do it. Now, that's what he said in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Let's go over there and check that out. You're not a little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh, man, I love that. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12, 32. It is his pleasure. Fear not. It is the Father's pleasure. I mean, he's going to take pleasure and delight in giving you the kingdom. Now, that it's going to be given to you, you can finally say that you are in Burger King. You can have it your way. By your thoughts, by your desires, by your aspirations, you form it in your spirit mind. And you have your own little niche in the corner of heaven, wherever it's at. You know, the old song said, Lord, build me just a cabin. Well, I sung that back in a quartet back in the 50s. Lord, build me just a cabin in a corner of glory land. Well, if you never think above a cabin, that may be what you're going to get. I want a mansion. I want to, it's not wrong to dream and to aspire and to have faith and to lift yourself up and create your desires in a mega fashion. Think big. You're having to create. I go to prepare a place for you, and the thoughts that you are sending up to the Father is his preparation material. As a man thinketh, as the Bible said, and if you'll seek him with all your heart, he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, notice this. What are you going to be like? Well, let's find out. Let's get the Bible does say, in a sense, we know not what we shall be, but we do know that we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that when we see him in, quote-unquote, after the resurrection or in what we would describe as the coming home, when we see him afar off, we'll start forming a body like an... No, that ain't what that meant at all. And that scripture plumb out of context of most Christian thought process. We don't know what we'll be like. That means that we're in the process of forming what we're going to be like. But let's demonstrate from the word get-go what was Adam and Eve like? They had tangible bodies. I mean, they weren't a little mist or a little figment of the imagination floating around. They were created to have eternal bodies. These bodies were to live and to function forever. Now, when the fall came, we lost our ability to have flesh and blood inheritance. That was the first covenant. Flesh and blood would inherit with eternal bodies that would live forever. You see, man, if you just pinch your body, it was at one time originally made from the dust of the earth to survive millenniums and billions of years without aging. There's an aging process that came in here because we had to die. But when the curse of death is removed, then it's fair to give an appraisal that there's different kinds of flesh bodies. The Bible speaks about it. There is a celestial body, terrestrial body, and then there's an earthly body. Well, we know that the earthly body, by the aging process, will not go. But it prototypes a body that will take on the likeness of the Creator, who himself is in a flesh body. It was a tangible, real body. He assumed the position of original Adam. You say, well, how did he do that? Well, the Bible says that when he gives the final trump, we'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed for this corruptible. Our present bodies, earthly bodies, are going to be changed. And we will put on incorruption instead of corruption. We will put on immortality rather than a mortal body of a temporary existence to live in. It's amazing. We're going to be like we were in modified, eternal bodies of tangible flesh. Now, when the Messiah rose up, did you know that he could eat and drink? He could cook. He wore clothes. He had people that didn't believe in him. They told him that he reached his hand and his feet out to Thomas and said, touch me. A spirit doth not have flesh and bone as you see me have. Flesh and bone? Are we going to really be a composite of original Adam? Yes, we are. Without the blood. See, blood was added because of transgression. We don't need any blood, really, if we have a incorruptible body. We function on a liquid plasma of spirit. We're going to have a spirit body, but it's going to be a tangible body, likened unto his glorious body, which is a flesh body that had the ability to eat. And when we put off this corruption, then death is going to be swallowed up in victory. That's in 1 Corinthians 15:51-54. It's amazing what the Bible tells us and gives us a hint of what we're going to be like. It says, beloved, when I just quoted you a while ago in 1 John, I'll give it to you in the scripture so you can check it out. Beloved, we are now the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:10. And like I said, we're going back to how Adam saw the Creator. We're actually going to be just like he is, and he's going to be actually like we are, because it was impossible for us to ascend to become God, so God descended to become a man and give us a model figure of what it was going to be like in the kingdom to come, because he said, I go away. And I'll prepare a place for you. If I go away, I'll come again and see them to self, that where I am, there you may be also. And you shall sit down with me in my kingdom, and you shall eat with me and drink with me. And I'll give you everything that you desire. I'll make this reward doubly fruitful for you as the birthright of Joseph. We're going to get a double fruitful birthright of eternal life, restoration, and we're going to have the same ability to be who we are now as we are then, or as we are then as we are now. Because there's nothing new under the sun, and what is to be has already been. So we have been what we're going to become. That's just exactly what it says. We're going to be what we've already been. Now, we can, you know, if there wasn't such a fleshly carnal restrictions, we could assume these, we could go in and out and find the pasture of eternal life right now. And the whole goal, the whole object of living here is to find our way out of here. So that when we do have to exit our bodies, we'll know the inward way. Have you ever went into the inner kingdom? Have you ever visited? Paul said, I know such a man that went to the third heaven. And we can talk about that. And the supernatural, miraculous, resurrected form of flesh and spirit combined into a new superbody. I like that, don't you? Supernatural, miraculous, resurrected form of flesh and spirit combined into a new supernatural body, which will have remarkable supernatural powers, just as the Messiah did, we can do also, which will have these powers to come through the resurrection, and the flesh of the future will, in most ways, be different from these present bodies, yet it's going to look similar. Because our Heavenly Father looks like we did. Because He came to be who we are, and He's in that flesh body, and He's the same yesterday forever. He ain't going to change. And we have a body, a crown, a prototype, everything that patterned after Adam left its original body in suspended animation, so to speak, and got out of their heavenly bodies and got into flesh and blood bodies in a temporary existence. And then when they leave these natural bodies, these mortal bodies, then there is a laid up for us an incorporeal immortal body without sin, without fault, without flaws, with eternal life. And that body is already made to fit you. You will fit exactly prototype. That body was yours. You've been pre-measured for it. Your name is attached to it. And when your spirit being, the Bible said there is an inward man and there is an outward man. The outward man goes to the dust, and the inward man goes back to God who gave it, or goes back to spirit, or goes back to its eternal reward. Isn't that wonderful? We'll be able to just will ourselves to be somewhere. We can dematerialize and disappear and walk through locked doors and solid walls just like the Messiah did. He did the same thing in his glorified body. We're going to be able to do that same thing. When he came back from the dead, like I said, he looked like himself. When he could disguise himself, he could veil himself and take up on different appearances. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you know, he did that. I'm sure he was having a time in his life. They thought he was a gardener, thought he was this, and thought he was that, thought he was actually a stranger. As Peter, James, and John walked on the road out of town, when the fourth man joined the procession, just out of nowhere, appeared this fourth individual, and their hearts literally burned in them when he told them about the marvelous things that was laid up for them, if they would continue on. And that the Messiah should have suffered and would raise again, which they doubted he'd done. He still had the scars. He could prove that he had another existence. Yeah, he rose up the same body that he went in with. The same body was born, and it matured and growed. And they inflicted scars upon his hands and his feet. They lashed his back. He still bore those scars in that body. And he's still in it today. Every day he looks at himself in the mirror of his own predetermined existence. I mean, you know, when Moses appeared to him back in the book of Exodus, he appeared to Moses, and Moses wanted to see him and begged for a view of the body of God. This was a very hard thing for God to do. But Moses was such a strong personality, wouldn't take no for an answer. And he said, I want to see your glory. And so the Bible says that Yahweh devised a safe plan, a safe passing. He was actually going to let Moses see him, and he did. He literally held his hand. The Bible describes that God Almighty held his hand over Moses' eyes to blind him temporarily until he passed by. He said, then I will cause my glory to pass by you, and you can see my hinder parts, but you can't see my face. Well, you could see my face, but you couldn't live. It would be, I mean, he'd have an atomic disintegration breakdown. Every molecule in his body would jerk and tremble and fall out of place in a dematerializing way. And of course, for Moses and his flesh and blood body, this would have been dangerous, because all the king's horses and all the king's men could have probably put Moses back together again had that happened. Remember, the Bible says when Peter, James, and John was at the viewing point of the transfiguration and the light shone like a lightning, the Bible said they got immediately very sleepy and would have gone to sleep, except the Messiah intervened and showed them his glory, the same glory that he had with the Father before he was. These are all very, for some people, very hard to understand. But after you begin to see the marvelous glorified heavenly flesh that is going to be able to enjoy all the pleasure that our flesh enjoys here and now, when we're going to have, it's going to be magnified. Are we going to have anything to eat in heaven? Well, the menu's being planned right now, by the way. The Bible tells you in the book of Revelation that you're invited to the marriage supper. Man, you talk about a champagne party. You talk about the nectar of the vine. You talk about the good wine. You think of the wedding in Canaan where he turned the water pots to wine was delicious for those who were well drunken. Think about when you drink the sweet nectar of the wine of the celebration of a coming home party. It's basically what it is, a coming home party. Amen. Praise Yahweh. We're going to have any more pleasures? Well, if we're going to eat and drink, I'm sure that we could have other pleasures. We'll get into that a little bit later on, but I just want you to know that after all, if heaven's going to be heaven, we'd certainly have to have some of those heavenly pleasures that we need to enjoy. And that's why Messiah was able to eat and drink and walk and talk and look just like he had before. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, I think it's wonderful. I don't really spread this thing out to want to be a little misty spirit floating around somewhere out there in the universe. I want to be a tangible, real person that you can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and feel. I want all those attributes that I've got here, because these are the excitement joys of expression and relating to each other. I'm convinced we're going to have this. Of course you can eat. If you want to. I mean, you know, when the Messiah told them, he said, I have food to eat you know not of. I mean, they were concerned about his natural food. And he told them, I have food to eat you know not of. It's like whatever food grows in the heavenly realm. You say, well, buddy, it's not like, you know, the supper is going to be spiritual, and we're going to eat on the cosmos, and we're going to run on the nuclear fuel of the energy of the spirit. I realize that. The spirit don't never get hungry, and the spirit don't, I don't know about that, because God said if I was hungry, he wouldn't tell you. You know, that's what he said. So he's kept some things for his own purpose to reveal to us. I mean, he's saving the best for last, these good news kingdom items. Is right now to be thought about. And of course we're going to be able to do the wonderful things that he did after he resurrected. And the Bible says we could do it now and greater things, but we just don't have that faith up. Something is lacking. We haven't found the combination. There's much more that we need to get into before that we can claim victory. But you see, some of these things that goes to the flesh, man, after we could, in other words, we could walk on water. We could raise the dead and we could turn the water to wine. Think about the ego trip that we could get on here. Thinking that we were begun with that. We're something, and when in reality, we're nothing, because we're going to have to die. And no matter how many miracles you work, you're going to have to die like a dog. A common dog. And who knows where the spirit of a beast goes upward or downward. That's, you know. But we do know that as sparks go upward, that which is came from him, our creator, will go back to him. When Stephen was being stoned to death in a flesh body, they were literally beating his brains out with rocks. And he said, Father, lay it not to their charge. And then when he took his last breath, he said, Father, receive my spirit. But the book of Ecclesiastes says that the flesh man goes back to the dust, and the inward man, and I told you there is an inward man, he goes back to God. It goes back to God who gives that spirit to come down here for a temporary experience. You see, the Bible, we are fatalistic in our views. We think we only have a temporary short life here. But our Heavenly Father knows better. He knows that we are eternal beings, and that we can take one trip out of this body, flesh body, it lays down, and the Father, if he needs be, we need more experience, we need more time, then he can recycle that spirit man back into another flesh body and let it come back for more training. You say, oh, buddy, you're getting too deep for me. Well, maybe. But I believe we've got to going to hell, and already have, and in some sense, heaven already. Heavenly hearts, heavenly homes, heavenly loved ones, heavenly works, bringing the love of heaven to others. So we're already having a heavenly, wonderful time, even right here on earth. We can really think about it. Just give you joy, just think about it. Well, I've always had one experience of the inward man out of the flesh body, over into the things that the Father has laid up and prepared for us, one view or one experience, one revelation is better than 10,000 years here in a carnal mind trying to figure out the whole scheme of things. I'm telling you, it can change literally overnight from one dimension to another. This dimensional photon belt shift that's coming is going to elevate our flesh bodies into. The Bible said we're going to be instantly changed, just like that. Now, that could be a progress or a process of time, but it could happen literally overnight. That we move from the existence of a carnal, mortal man to a spirit, immortal man. Oh, praise Yahweh. Listen what the Messiah said in John 10:10. I love this one. This is a great scripture. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how more positive could you be in this relationship when Mary said to the Messiah, talking about Lazarus, well, I know he'll raise in the resurrection. She had a future hope. There is a present reality here. Christ said, I am. I am the resurrection. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if he is the resurrection, and he has the power to give us the kingdom nail. It's a nail. It's not a feature kingdom so much in our thought process as it is a now kingdom. Start thinking now. Start believing now. Start thinking big now. Start using your mind to create the heavenly existence. And I remember the old saying, your faith will never rise above the level of your confession. You must think positive. You must think correctly. Put your thinking, put your spiritual thinking cap on. Now, you can think about carnal things all day long, but very few people can put on their spiritual cap and think about spiritual things. I've come to, you might have it, but our Messiah wants us to be happy and enjoy our life to the fullest. Here, 100-fold in this life, he said. If we're just getting 10-fold, maybe we're only putting a 10-fold effort in a return, because the Bible said you reap what you sow. If you're only getting a 10%, if you're miserable here, you have created your own misery. Get in 100-fold bracket. 100-fold. 100-fold in this life, and in the world to come, life eternal. Mark 10:30. Heaven on earth and heaven hereafter. And heaven is in you, the hope of glory. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Luke 17:20. You're free to enjoy total love, life, and liberty in Yahweh. But in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But the Bible said, when a man's ways please Yahweh, even his enemies will be at peace with him. You've got to get in a right frame of mind. You've got to overcome. You've got to confess your existence into being. I had a headache today, and I was tired and run down, just didn't feel good, and I got so much trouble. My enemies are so many. Something wrong. You can be an abundant life possessor. You can be a 100-fold possessor, but if you want to lay around in suffering and pain and self-torture and self-denial and self-crucifixion, you got the wrong God. You got the God of the Pharisees that's buying heavy burdens and wouldn't lift one finger to raise them up. So think about the pleasures. It's my pleasure. And, you know, just even the simple pleasures and joys of life were created by our Creator for you to enjoy. He tells us that all things are yours in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:21. To the pure, all things appear, and all things are lawful. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Unto those who are motivated to love, for against such love there is no law. Galatians 5:22. And as a man thinketh, so he is. If you're in misery, poverty, and you're miserable, you're unthankful, and you're unholy, and you're in pain, and self-torture and suffering and self-denial, and you're crucifying yourself afresh every day, that ain't pleasing to the Father. You've created that environment with your thought process. So think about heaven in the now, not some future way up there pie in the sky thing. You can change your circumstances by changing your thinking to be, and as a man thinketh, so he is. Look at who created your nervous system. You sound so nervous. Well, did the Father create you nervous? No, you became that way. What? What? Cures of this life?
I need me a pill to relax me, and one to make me go to sleep, one to wake me up, and one to take me to dinner, and one to take me to the evening meal, and one to take me after the meal to the bedtime, and one again to take me to the bed.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's more to life than popping pills. Had a good friend of mine, Vietnam buddy. I'm telling you, he got 100% disability. And of course, they prescribed medication for his condition because he told them he had this, that. So they create a medicine for every one of the conditions that he confessed he had. Then he began to take it and it began to develop the symptoms of what he didn't have but became. And he went on for about 7 or 8 years. And I'm telling you, this man was pitiful to look at. He was a zombie. He couldn't hardly walk. He was bloated. Oh, vastly overweight. Nothing but swelling and afflictions, heart trouble. Everything created a problem for him. And finally, when he come to his senses, he threw the medicine away and quit it and became the person that he'd always been, except he just converted to their way for the money. Also, there's more to life than money. Money to get you to where you at in destruction is not worth having. Money with the blessings and the joy of having is, like the scripture said, better is a little with joy than much with sorrow. So are you creating a bad environment just because you'd like to have some money and you'd sacrifice, lie, cheat, steal, or do anything, take drugs to get that? Well, if you are, then you've sold out very cheap because the Father's promised you the kingdom. But if you're not, little flock, it is my joy to give you these things. Well, if he's got the joy to give it to you, and you ain't got enough joy to receive it, then you can't have it with your misery and your self-denial and all your crucifixions and your sin and wickedness and things of this nature. You can't have it both ways. You got to. It's his way, and his way is a joyful way. And what's heaven going to be like? It's like you created to be. If you create it with bad things, bad thoughts, bad, miserable suffering, guilt, lies, cheating, stealing, you've just created your own hell. You didn't create a heaven. Most people that claim to be Christians are living in hell. When the Bible says you can live in peace and complete total victory. I'm convinced that if heaven is going to be heaven at all for the joy, it's going to be like it is in us, this life, of what we would imagine heaven to be like. You're creating, ladies and gentlemen. If you live life with its joys, its beauties, its pleasures, without any drawbacks, all the assets, without the liabilities, we're going to have the same wonderful roses that we enjoy today, only without the thorns. I mean, Adam didn't have any thorns and thistles in his life until the fall, until he began to realize how miserable he was. And he began to think, and as a man thinketh, he became. And finally, the door to the third dimension of his third eye kingdom began to close up in fleshly realms of poverty and misery and death and suffering and denial and crucifixions and envy and hatred and spite and jealousies and lust. I could go on and on and on to the 17 works of the flesh. It creates a miserable hell. And most people that are trying to get rich to do it have to go through those 17 examples of the lust of the flesh to get there. And then when they get there, like the movie star that has achieved to stardom and climbed the tallest mountain, and then after there's no more mountains to climb, they become miserable, disenfranchised with life, and a lot of them take an early exit. See, that's going at it all wrong. Heaven can be a wonderful place. We can enjoy life. We can love the enjoyment without any pain, sickness, death, curses, weariness, or any of those things. We can do all these things through Christ who strengthened us, and we can become that being that he was, because he had these positive desires from the word go. Funny that you'll never mention one time that he had pain anywhere except in his heart for the unbelief of the children that he was trying to teach. That's the only pain that our Messiah had was in the bottom of his heart to see the reluctance and the unbelief in so many of his children. He marveled. The Bible said he marveled at our unbelief. Well, that's what heaven's all about to me. And I think it could be what it's all about to you too. Together, we can get the job done. Separated, divided, envious, jealous, spiteful, resentful, lustful, prideful, and all those things that keep us separated will never become the threefold cord that is going to be very strong and not easily broken. But when we're alone, you know, most misery comes from being alone. No association, no help. I enjoy helping others. I enjoy trying to teach others. I'm not much of a teacher or a preacher. But any little positive thing I can throw out there, so be it. Now, I know there's a lot of bad things that's going to happen to a lot of bad people, but only good things happen to good people. The kingdom message is good news. Abundant life living. Abundant life thinking. We need to abandon all the negative things and cling to the good things, because it's Yahweh's good pleasure to give us all of these things. And you start talking about the enjoyment of sex. So, well, ain't going to be any sex in heaven. Well, that's taking away one of the most pleasurable things that we have. You say, well, there won't be any need for procreation, therefore we won't have any need for sex. Let me tell you something. One of my experiences that I had in relationship to the Father and stepping into the kingdom was the most joyful experience that I had. And I didn't have any sex with any individual, but I had sex with everything that I, even the blade of grass I stepped on, caused 1,000 orgasms in my heart and mind and soul of joyful glee. Seeing a long-lost brother afar off, you don't really have to have a physical contact, but the mind, that such exuberant joy of a lost brother. I mean, here it's for a moment, it's temporary. And it takes a lot of energy of the flesh to feel all these things and to go through these things. I mean, after you go through them, you're drained. Over there, it's completely opposite. When you go through these things, you're so energized and charged that ever you need another one. You need another immediate fix of joy by stepping on another blade of grass to have 10,000 orgasms. It is wonderful. Yeah, of course, marriage. There's not going to be a marriage in heaven for in heaven. They neither marry, given in marriage, but you're intermarried to him. There is a marriage supper up there. Let's get real here. We're not married to each other. We're married to him. And by being married to him, we are married to them, which is you. And you, which is them, is married to me, which is I. So I and you and him are all one. And we're interlocked together. And so we have 1 billion orgasms every time we embrace, every time we think about each other. So sex is not like carnal intercourse, of course. Sex in heaven is a knowing, a without the physical, but the same electrical response that we would have here in our enjoyment of sex, if anybody does enjoy it, and I've never met anybody that didn't, but I can't say that because some people get turned off by it because they don't have any pleasure in it. Because they're callous, they're resentful, or hateful, or aggravating, or stuck up, or proud, or depressed, or whatever caused them not to. But the Bible said, be fruitful and multiply. That means have plenty of sex. And sex is not a bad thing when you look in the Bible. It's only bad when you get the Kinsey report, and it's evil. You need to hide to do it, and stuff like that. Some kind of a taboo about sex has been placed in our mind. So subconscious restrictions of the rightful things that it was made for. And that is the enjoyment, the electronic pleasure. I mean, it just, what else can vibrate the nerve system throughout your whole body to cause it to tingle and jingle? Although it's temporary and lasts very a short explosion. Well, think about an eternal explosion. By just having a happy thought. That's wonderful. So, heaven is an amplification or a magnification of all the thrills and joys and pleasures of this life. It is an explosive amplification and magnification of the thrills and the joys and the pleasures of what you have experienced here in a limited sense. Everything is going to multiply and go right up the spectrum and really off the Richter scale. You're going to have an earthquake experience every time that you step into a contact situation with your brothers and sisters who you're married to, and when you're interacting with them, there is no sin in interacting with the pleasures of the climactic joys of the kingdom. It's my good pleasure. I mean, he has pleasure. Think about the joy that bottoms in his heart, that just explodes in his heart when he sees you coming. Oh, he wouldn't be happy to see me. I've just got so many problems. I just can't wait to tell him all of it. You ain't going to make it. I mean, he ain't going to listen to your problems. When you get there, you're going to have joy unspeakable, and it's going to be full of glory. Well, that's best, buddy. Yeah, listen to the Shepherd's Call. We're live tonight on the Rock 100.3 FM. And it's a flagship station that we're going through to the micro broadcasters around the country. And uplink into the internet and the downloads of your computer systems. And so we appreciate being in your homes, your automobiles, or your computer sets in your computer rooms, or your laptops, wherever. You could be flying across wherever in the land, and you could be downloading this tonight. We appreciate it. If you'd like to write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm 3-White-21, able to take your call and say hi. Praise God. You'll never hear me say hello. That's a negative put down. Hello? Who taught us that? Negative people. Who taught us Babylon? Who taught us adulterers? Who taught us kids, goats? You know, all these negative things that we've been pronounced. No wonder we're living in hell. Or change your language and live in heaven. We can have it now. You can, like I say, be the Burger King of your life. Well, you got a crown, and you might as well put it on and wear it and act like a king. That's what you're going to be if you make it to heaven. So you can call me, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to email me tonight, and I'd like to hear from some of you around the country, wherever you're listening in tonight, I'd like to hear from you. Praise God, we would delight my heart just to see you pop up on my computer screen. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. buddy1@centurytale.net. Just email me, give me a call at area code 423-626-2172, or write me a letter and tell me where you heard the message tonight, and we'd be glad to correspond with you, talk with you on the phone, or email you back. Praise Yahweh. Well, let me get out of here tonight. Yahweh bless you wherever you may be. We'll see you down the road next Monday night. Thank you.